Hi, and welcome to the radio version of DC Public Safety. I'm your host, Len Sipes. At our microphones today is Robert Evans. Robert is from the Mental Health Unit of the Court Services and Offender Supervision Agency. And Robert, welcome to DC Public Safety.
Thank you.
All right, the Mental Health Unit. I've been waiting for you. I'm interviewing a lot of different people today to do the podcast for CSOSA's website. And I interviewed a lovely young lady before you talking about the high-risk drug offenders and how they are some of the most difficult offenders that we have within court services and offender supervision agency. But the mental health unit is probably, in my mind, as difficult or more difficult than the high-risk drug offenders, correct?
Absolutely. In my opinion, I feel like I deal with the most difficult offenders because not only are they mentally challenged, but the majority of them have substance abuse issues. And of course, the mental health is going to come before the substance abuse. And so, you know, they send them right over to us. And so they have not only the mental health issues, but also the substance abuse issues.
We do a complete diagnosis of the individual here at Court Services and Offender Supervision, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so we do a complete diagnosis. Then we send them to DC government where they get counseling and or medication, and then the person is on our caseload, where we have a rather low caseload of about 25-30 to 1, correct?
Okay. I'm sorry, let me backtrack. Now, when you say complete diagnosis,
yeah, do we, a complete assessment of the person's mental health problems.
Okay. A lot of our assessment comes from the history that we're given when we get the case, which is
right
in their pre-sentencing report.
Right.
And so that aspect of supervision is very important, that we get that pre-sentence report,
right,
because that lets us know their history, lets us know their mental health history,
right,
and their background.
Right.
Based on that, 9 times out of 10, that's why they come to our unit, based
right
on their history.
Right.
Then we send them to our CSOSA psychologist,
right,
one of a few that we have,
mm-hmm,
and they do what's called a psychiatric screener,
right,
which is not a complete diagnosis.
Okay.
But what it is in combination with the history that they have and the questions that they have that they ask the offenders, they come up with a recommendation.
Okay.
From that recommendation, they'll refer them to the Department of Mental Health or an agency within DC that will give them further assessment to
okay
see what their needs are.
Now, but the interesting thing is that the system that I came from, which was a rather large state system before I came here to this agency, if you had a mental health problem, you were simply referred to the local mental health department or the health department, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that person could sit there for months before they ever received any treatment at all,
mm-hmm,
and he was part, or she was part of a regular caseload, which at the time was well over 100 offenders to every parole and probation agent. Here, it's a lot different.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Well, that's correct. right now, I have about 60 offenders, and we're working very diligently to reduce those numbers. They have brought new mental health teams,
mm-hmm,
and new mental health CSOs to try to reduce those numbers. But right now, the caseloads are fairly high for what we're expected to do.
And that makes it even more difficult because you're almost the lifeline for that individual. That individual, if he comes out of prison, now I know you have probationers on your caseload as well, right?
That's correct.
So if the person comes out of prison and he has a mental health problem, and I'm not quite sure if anybody can accept that a prison experience is going to assist the person with their mental health problems. In some cases, it makes it more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But you have a person, let's just say he's a schizophrenic,
mm-hmm,
and he comes out of the federal prison system, because all of our offenders go into the federal prison system. If he hits the street without support and without guideline, it is almost, in my mind, and you correct me if I'm wrong, inevitable that this person is going to reoffend.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That transition from jail to my office is very critical. I'm sure you've interviewed someone who's in the TIPS department.
Yes.
That process is critical for supervision, because that person has to be assessed, their needs have to be assessed to ensure that they are receiving, they're connected to the right treatment program.
Right.
They should have medications. They should have some form of treatment already set up so that when they hit the streets, they are connected. Unfortunately, there are a handful of people who who miss out on that assessment, and they do hit the streets, and it's our job to assess them as soon as possible and get them connected as soon as possible. And that gap in between time is critical. So that's where we come in. We have to make sure that they're in front of us.
You're the lifeline for the offender. I mean, I understand the person could be in treatment. I understand if the person's a vet, the person could go to VA. Mm-hmm. I understand that we refer them to DC government for mental health treatment. But I've talked to so many community supervision officers who tell me that they are indeed the lifeline for that individual. Again, in many cases, they've burnt their bridges with a family. They've burnt bridges with friends. That you know, having that constant presence to talk about their issues, to talk about their struggles, or in some cases to call you and say, look, I'm thinking about going back to drugs, or I'm thinking about beating the crap out of somebody. Help me. You're the lifeline.
That's absolutely correct. It's very important. As a CSO in the mental health unit, it's very important to be knowledgeable about mental health, about the needs of the population. And it's true, a lot of them are rejected by family. They have no place to turn. And so it's important that we're there for them, that they're able to sit down and able to communicate with us. And we have to be knowledgeable about mental health needs so that we can assess their issues. We can see whether they're about to relapse or about to go into a state of depression, where that's when we have to more intensively supervise them. So it's very important.
You have not just life experiences. I mean, the process of going through prison, and I'm not making any excuses for any offender, but the process of being incarcerated, going through the prison experience, coming back out, trying to reintegrate, trying to reconnect with family and friends, trying to find some place to live, trying to find a job, trying to maintain your stability, mental stability, in a big city, a hustling, bustling big city, which basically doesn't care a whole heck of a lot about you as an individual, any city. I mean, that's just, it's almost as if the cards are stacked against that person. It's almost inevitable that person's going to reoffend, go back to prison. And again, I'm not to beat the point to death, but that means that you have to be that person's lifeline, in some cases, his only lifeline.
And that's absolutely correct. Unfortunately, you know, a lot of people just don't have the resources that they need. And I really believe that that's the number one thing that will make someone successful. They have a family to come home to. That makes a life, that makes so much difference. They have support that support network is key. If they don't have that, they're almost just left out there just to go reoffend.
Robert, do you think through your efforts and through the efforts of the other community supervision officers dealing with the mental health caseload, do you think that you can cut back on recidivism? Do you think that you can help this person maintain their sanity and be a productive citizen?
I think that our presence is definitely important. And I think that our presence does make a difference, but I don't think it's enough just to have me and no one else. I think that it does make an absolute difference, but that's why it's very important for us to be able to connect with other resources in the community, because when that person leaves my office, he needs to have somewhere else to go.
Robert, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.